Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It has become an annual rite of passage that we come together as a family and we make our bowl picks. The heck with the turkey, the heck with the stuffing, our family comes together and makes bowl picks. And today is that day. We have a four-time defending champion. Based on notes from various listeners around the area, they're sick of his streak. Let's read some of the notes. Suit, you're going down. We've had enough. Sean from Mill Hall. Oh. This is the end of the line for you. The King, South Windsor, Connecticut. Interesting notes we're getting. Go sell something. Jamie from Sunbury. Okay.
Curious what Sean from Mill Hall sent that. I think if I know a Sean from Mill Hall.
Sean from Lock Haven.
There you go. Formerly of Gastineau. He escaped the village.
You've always tried to better yourself. I give you credit.
We hit blackjack in Gastineau and it was time to go.
We're done.
Gone.
So today is the day we make our bowl picks. As a disclaimer, none of you, not a one of you, should be running to Grantville to Penn National and saying, I heard on this show, and then just start peeling off paper. No, 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 no. our records aren't that good.
Except for one. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Ah, Roger from Sunbury. Go sell something. That's okay. Great. Seems to be some uniformity there. Is he lurking?
Yeah, he's right next to me.
Which means nothing's getting sold?
Well, we're dealing with some computer stuff here in the studio today.
So nothing's getting sold.
Something's going to get thrown out, but we'll that's a wait and see. That may be
really?
After the picks.
Really?
Well
really?
Not a person.
Oh, yeah, my hopes up. suddenly the reason to live was like in front of me. All right.
Sorry about that.
Care to rephrase? Care to rephrase?
Specific item that was possibly could get thrown out. So.
Specific item. Like the entire computer?
There you go. Yes. Well, maybe not the keyboard. Maybe not the screen. Screen's still good.
Well, we're going to be picking the bowl games. And I guess we have to pick the Celebration Bowl in Atlanta.
According to the defending champion, he does, but I'm sticking with my 39 picks.
Oh, I'll pick the game. I mean, okay. So as you tell me who's in it, I have the exclusive WKOK dartboard that will allow me to give proper answers.
A gift you got back in 2014, it's now going to pay off.
Oh, this is great. This is great. Got a little B-94 section on it. Little Eagle 107 section on it. Little WMLP section on it. I mean, it's really great. So I'll be picking games like the rest of you. Now, tomorrow on the show, we got a lot going on in tomorrow's show. Tomorrow, Joe Giglio is going to join us from the Raleigh News and Observer, who will be giving us a preview of Penn State and North Carolina State from Atlantic City on Saturday. So we'll have Joe on tomorrow's show. Also tomorrow, Emily Kaplan from ESPN.com on the expansion of the NHL to Seattle. She covered that at their meetings. And moving forward, what that means. So we'll have her on tomorrow to talk about that.
Very cool. Yeah, Penn State grad and formerly worked with Peter King at Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, so we're going to have her on the show.
Loves the hockey.
Well, that's what she's covering now. She's covering that 24/7, the NHL. So we'll get her on, have her on the opening half hour of the show tomorrow. Looking forward to that.
Already working on next week. We were able to get in touch. We were talking a little bit about the terrific college football playoff write-up that Nicole Auerbach did for The Athletic.
Yeah.
And we see Nicole from time to time on BTN, on Big Ten Football and Beyond. She's going to be with us on Monday. We got her locked in for Monday at 4:06. And also, we're keeping our fingers crossed for Mike Muscala, the Philadelphia 76ers, hopefully next week.
Great.
Just heard from the Sixers a little bit ago.
And by the way, we have put in a request for Eli Gold. Now, as I told Sean, I don't expect him to come over to the hotel. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, would I go over to the hotel? I might. I said, but he can call from his house. Since we're in his neighborhood, we thought we'd give him a call. And we're going to be in his neighborhood for a couple days. See, I'm thinking next Thursday night after the show that Jeff Tarman, Dick Girardi, Rose Carter — Rose is the sports information person for Penn State, Rose is marvelous — that we should go over to Dreamland Ribs. Now, Dreamland became very popular in the 80s because guess who ate at Dreamland Ribs and then mentioned it on national TV? Keith Jackson. Oh, I got to go to Dreamland. Okay. Well, I've had Dreamland Ribs. They are really, really good. So, I mean, that's, you know, trying to play a couple things. I've got to do the show, but at 4 o'clock, Tuscaloosa is on Central Time. So since they're on Central Time, I can, we can get out of there and we can go over there. It'll be great. That's what we're thinking about doing. Because we have to be there for 2 days. They're not in class. So what the game plan is this. They're going to go next Tuesday night to Pittsburgh. Play Duquesne at PPG Paints Arena, where the Penguins play, Wednesday night at 7. As soon as the game is over, we're going right to the airport and we're flying to Alabama. And we'll be in Alabama Wednesday night, all day Thursday, all day Friday, because that game at Alabama is 9 o'clock Eastern time. All the time. I thought when they first announced it, I thought, it's term break. That game could be like maybe a 3 or 4 o'clock game. I saw the schedule. It said 9 o'clock. I'm like, oh, mercy me. Why is it not? Why? It's 8 o'clock Central time. Why is that? And it's because SEC Network's carrying it. Okay. SEC Network. That's great. Again, that's what happens when you're a television show. That's what happens when you're a television show. Did you happen to see Sean Carey the latest in the long line of halfway house reclamation projects going on right now. Have you seen that?
I've not seen that.
Well, guess which place is the halfway house of college football? Alabama. What has Alabama been able to do? Alabama has been able to essentially rehab the career of Lane Kiffin, rehab the career of Steve Sarkisian, rehab the career of Mike Loxley, rehab the career of Dan Enos, and guess who is the latest in that long line that is getting at least a consultant spot? A consultant spot. At the moment, nothing permanent promised. But guess who that is at Alabama as a consultant just brought on board? DJ Durkin. Yes, the former Maryland head coach. He has been brought in as a consultant and has already started working at Alabama as a consultant. Now, is it permanent? No, they didn't say it's permanent. But for the moment, he is in the consultant spot. Now, that doesn't bring with it a lot of money or anything like that, but at least it keeps you in the game, and it also puts the Alabama name behind you. So I find that to be very interesting. Nick Saban can do this. He has a great reputation, and everybody that's gone through there has benefited from him being there. So DJ Durkin's the latest to be accommodated on the road back to viability by going through Tuscaloosa. Whether it works for him or not remains to be seen. What Alabama does with him or doesn't do with him remains to be seen, but at least for the moment, he is in a consultant's role. All right. We will take a break. The suit is fixing things. We think he's fixing the picks so we lose. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Great to have you with us on the show today. As Sean is working his end of the show, I'd like to point out that the suit is in there working around him right now. Deftly, I might add. I would just like to say on behalf of the station, Keith, we really miss Harry. All right, so...
Cosign, right.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. But, yeah. So that's what we have. Santa's on tonight, 6 to 7. Now, do we find out when Chad Schillinger on next week?
I believe next week. It's either Wednesday or Thursday. Okay. Next week, I thought.
Okay, great.
Chad, awesome. If you're listening, text me, let me know. So.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, after Talk to Santa tonight, speaking of Les Suit, Kevin and the Chief, they'll be in the field house. Phil Lockhoff, Jim, we got Thursday court, a night court with the Shikellamy and Lords Regional. 7:06 airtime, and they'll tip around 7:30. Then we'll go to Chiefs Chargers in progress after that.
That's going to be quite a game tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be
Chiefs
a shootout.
And Chargers. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that. Now, you really have to watch the Chiefs in this game. And here's the reason why you have to really watch the Chiefs. How are they now without Kareem Hunt? What kind of team are they without Kareem Hunt? That's what I think. That's what I think I'm looking to find out. Because obviously, he can't be on the team for obvious reasons. But you've also negotiated most of the season with him. Well, since you've negotiated most of the season with him, what kind of team are they now? Are they legitimately a playoff team with him? Yes. Are they legitimately a team that can go a long way without him? We don't know, and tonight's one of those nights we have to start finding out. That's the important part. We have to find out whether or not they are a legit team. Without him. And that it's and the Chargers have been going along without Melvin Gordon here for a period of time.
That's going to be fun tonight. It's going to be a shootout.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a big-time shootout. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be very, very good. Yeah, you know, and then hopefully somebody can, you know, figure out what they're doing right now so they can get to their game and eventually come home and watch it. If not, they'll be there all night. It's not funny.
Yeah, Chief flying solo tonight?
He may have to. And to be honest with you, I'm looking forward to it, and I believe... And
I don't know. Maybe this is a plot and a ploy. Remember that night last year when Chief wasn't feeling well and Kevin had to do the game solo? A la Doug Birdsong.
Suddenly out of nowhere, the expression coup d'etat. Coup d'etat. Looking forward to, obviously, a big night. Great to have you with us on the show today. Chris Mack. We know what the Phillies are doing a lot. What are the Pirates doing? When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our bowl picks are coming up at the top of the hour. Looking forward to that. That'll be a lot of fun, as always. And, yeah. This will be a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, I found a six-pack of NFL games for Sunday. We'll do that as well to close things out.
Yeah. So, that's...
Of course, we'll start with tonight's game, then we'll go from there.
Yeah, tonight's game is going to be really good. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it, as a matter of fact. I have all my work done. When you have all your work done, you can really kick back a little bit. You can relax a little bit, and I think I'm going to do that tonight with this game. I'm just going to kick back, and I'm just going to enjoy it. Should be a lot of fun. All right. Now, the Phillies have made a lot of intriguing moves. Jean Segura was a great pickup from Seattle. I'm impressed. I think they've upgraded themselves in several areas, plus the domino effect of taking Rhys Hoskins, putting him back in his natural spot. That's a big help. So now let's get to the next part. They signed Andrew McCutchen. Not quite on board with that. Interesting to see what they'll do. Then there's the other end of the state. Jordy Mercer is signed with Detroit. Okay. Jung Ho Gung is re-signed at a lower value. That made sense. Ivan Nova was dealt to the White Sox in exchange for a batting cage. So we bring in our old friend Chris Mack from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Chris, welcome back. Great to have you. Wasn't the last time we talked was before the Pitt game, so great to have you with us.
I've been good. Who knew that after that game things would go the way they went? I mean, yeah. I mean, that's just, God, it feels like ages ago.
I know. It's amazing. But congrats, by the way, to Pitt for, to their credit, for getting to the ACC championship game. What the heck?
Good for them. Nothing lights the fans on fire like 7-6.
Yeah, I'm sure it's created a groundswell over at the ticket office. All right.
I could get away with this in State College, Steve. It's kind of fun.
Oh, yeah, I know. I can tell. In State College, in fact, right now, you're winning over me. You're not just winning them over one at a time. You're winning them over in droves. Okay. So the Pirates. Jordy Mercer is now signed with Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
They made the mega deal by sending Nova to the White Sox in exchange for a bucket of balls.
Yeah.
And some cash.
A guy with a pulse.
Okay, so, Chris, what are they doing?
It increasingly looks like, and we, on our show this morning, talked just briefly to Adam Berry, who covers the Pirates for MLB.com, and... at first, my first knee-jerk reaction to the Nova deal was, okay, it's Ivan Nova. He's probably your fifth starter going into the season anyway, because you feel confident in what you have in Tyone Williams, Archer, and Musgrove. So, trading Nova and that salary for a fifth starter is not necessarily the end of the world. You look at it as $8.5 million that can be spent elsewhere. But then you do the backwards accounting, and you end up looking at, Gung was brought back, even though they did it at a lower number than expected because they rejected his option and then re-signed him.
Sure.
And that's a smart move. That's quite official yet either.
Yeah.
And then they went out and got Lonnie Chisenhall, too, to sort of play right field for the first 2.5 months until Polanco's healthy and then be a fourth outfielder from there. And all of a sudden, it's like, most of that 8.5 is caught up in the wash. And so I'll be honest, I'm kind of fearful, and Adam Berry reinforced this fear this morning, that this payroll is not going to get it's not going to go much past what they're projected to do, which is like 75, maybe 80. And they may even they're still listening if anybody wants to come up with a sweetheart deal for Francisco Cervelli, too, which is Cervi's going to go into the year as their highest paid player at 11.5. So, it's a team that took a giant hit at the box office last year.
Yes,
because
it did.
People were fed up and frustrated, rightfully so, after the trades of McCutchen and Cole. And this ownership group, rightly or wrongly, has always tied the following year's payroll to the prior year's performance at the box office. And if that's any indication, I have a feeling we'll be in for another year of probably somewhat sparse crowds and probably not the Pirates spending a whole lot of money and sort of wishing and hoping and crossing their fingers that the young, inexpensive team that they've cobbled together, and no disrespect again to the top four in that rotation that I mentioned earlier, because I think they could be very good, but hoping that young team that they've cobbled together can make some things happen and get some people out to the ballpark.
How difficult is this, though, when Milwaukee is the defending division champ, the Cubs are aching to improve themselves, and they already have talent, and the Cardinals have picked up Goldschmidt?
Yeah, and the Reds are, talking about making moves here and there. There are rumors of Marcus Stroman. It's tough, Steve. When you look at it, I think it's best exemplified when you look at the shortstop position, right? Yeah. You look at the shortstop position in the National League Central and really in baseball overall these days. I mean, the second biggest free agent on the market is Manny Machado, and argue as much as you want to about his ability to still play a great defensive shortstop and how limited it may be, he's still a left side infield guy. Shortstop around the league is a very important position. The Cubs are going to go into 2019 with Javi Baez as their starting shortstop. Right. That's an MVP level player, or MVP candidate level player. You look at Milwaukee, you can argue the merits of Orlando Arcia. He was a negative WAR player this year, but he's got a ton of potential, especially defensively, and can grow offensively. You look at Cincinnati, Jose Peraza is a multiple wins above replacement player. You look at St. Louis, they've got a former Rookie of the Year in Paul DeJong coming off a sophomore slump. And then you get to Pittsburgh, and we're fairly comfortable with Kevin Newman and Eric Gonzalez. And that's just, for a team that truly considers itself a contender, I don't know how you go into a season with your middle infield of Adam Frazier at second. And God love Adam Frazier, I do. Fun ball player to watch, but if he's going to be your everyday second baseman, you're going to lose some runs defensively at second base. And then Gonzalez and Newman at short, that's not a postseason team. It's just not. And so, I think that exemplifies the competition in the National League Central more than anywhere else. And again, this team's going to have a decent rotation, if not very good rotation, if it fulfills its potential, but I just don't know where they're going to score any runs.
And and that's going to be part of the issue of what they've done. The Phillies went out; they traded for a shortstop. They took Crawford, who can't hit. They sent him west. They're the ones making the big deals right now, and the Pirates aren't.
Yeah, and it becomes especially hard to watch. Like you mentioned, the Phillies, and the Phillies are a team that, talent wise, over the last couple of years, there was a down period, and they're coming back together over the course of the last year to year and a half, and they're putting it all together at the right time, right?
Yeah.
Going out, getting McCutcheon, the trades you mentioned, still, according to some, in on Harper and or Machado. So, right. It feels like the sky is the limit with the Phils, right? Anything could happen. For fans on the other side of the state, we'll see what we can do to get by. And what becomes really frustrating is to see teams like the Phillies, like the Braves, teams who have gone through, even the Brewers, real quick teardowns and rebuilds, right? And you look at them and say, well, man, this team 2 or 3 years ago was in the basement, really struggling. Right. And here they are going to 2019, they're contenders, and forget just contenders for a division crown. They're being talked about as pennant winners. They're being talked about as teams that, being one or two pieces away from World Series visits and having some of the premier talent across Major League Baseball. And you look at the Pirates, and it feels like, as much fun as the 3 years were from 2013 through 15, it almost feels like that was some sort of mirage in the desert of this, what was once a 20-year losing streak and has very quickly become, 23 losing seasons and 26. And all of a sudden you're looking at it and saying, okay, well, when do we get our quick turnaround and our quick rebuild? And again, if they go out, maybe they prove us all wrong and get somebody to plug in at shortstop or plug into the middle of the order to provide a little bit of support to Bell and Marte, we can look at it and say, okay, they had a reason, a method behind all this madness. But right now, from everything we're hearing, it doesn't sound like there is. It sounds like they're going to be conservative again this year and probably go into the season favored to finish fourth, maybe fifth in the NL Central, and everyone else is getting ready to ramp back up again.
Yet in round two of the Rule 5 draft, the Pirates did pick up Winston Nicasio, who pitched for the Spikes here in State College last summer.
Mm-hmm.
it's just my prediction that he won't sell a ticket for you. All right, so that's
that's a bold prediction, Stephen.
You know, that comes from experience, Chris.
Yes. That's true veteran leadership right there.
When I lean on my experience to come up with a brilliant statement such as that. So it's a wait-and-see proposition. Yet, to their credit, last year, they put themselves in a position where they made the Archer trade and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
How closely will you watch the first 2.5 months to see if last season was a mirage and this season's a reality?
Well, I mean, again, it's going to come down to, you know, are they that team that we saw in, say, the first, what was it, 3 weeks of last season, first
yeah.
month of last season? Really up through the middle of May, it felt like, where
they were bad.
They were scoring runs, they were hitting balls out of the park, and then all of a sudden, you know, they hit the skids for a month and a half.
Yeah, I remember talking to you. Really, I remember talking to you. This team's hitting home runs, and then the season hitting home runs.
Yeah, and it was surprising, I think, to a lot of people. And you know, it wasn't the usual suspects. I think that was the most interesting part of it. And Polanco was at the crux of that. And how do they deal with his absence? Because there's just not a lot of power to go around on this team. You know, we talked about it, I think, several times last year, Steve. This is a team that needs to have a 4 or 5 hit, maybe 6 base runners in a half inning kind of inning to produce multiple runs, to put up crooked numbers on the board.
Right.
And they just don't have that. Or they do have that, but you know, how often do you see that happen when instead you could have a team like the Phils or the Yankees or the Red Sox or any Dodgers walk to the plate, and you don't need 5, 6, you know, half a dozen base runners to produce 2 or 3 runs in a half inning. All you need is a walk, a stolen base, a bloop base hit, and then a home run, you know? And all of a sudden, you're up 3-0.
That doggone Earl Weaver.
Yeah, exactly.
We're still
That's
using
exactly
the Earl Weaver plan.
It is. You know, baseball has become the Earl Weaver 3-run homer.
Yeah.
Game and you know it the Pirates just have not kept up with the Joneses in that respect, no pun intended, and they don't they don't have that ability right now, and I don't know where they go out and get that ability if they're not willing to spend a few more bucks, and if they are able to generate that kind of offense early on, and I think their rotation will be solid. If they look up come, you know, mid to late June and they're right there in the race, they will have saved the money, and they will have perhaps, through being more competitive than expected, put some more people through the turnstiles to where maybe they look at it and say, hey, we've got X more amount of dollars to spend when it comes to the last 2 months of the season. Maybe we can target A, B, or C at the trade deadline, and maybe you get that. But again, all of a sudden, we're talking about a lot of different dynamics coming together, a lot of different variables that have to go right and in their favor. And when you're in this division and you've got to play, let's see, let me do the quick math, 57 games, so that amounts to about a third of your schedule against the Cubs, the Cardinals, and the Brewers.
Right.
Doesn't seem so favorable.
No. I remember Bob Prince. I'll give you a good one. Bob Prince always had a saying. You win 54, you lose 54.
Yep.
It's what you do in the other 54.
Exactly.
Do you realize the Boston Red Sox this year in the other 54 were 54-0?
Exactly. It really has become a league of haves and have-nots.
Yep.
And if
yes.
you're one of the have-nots, you're going to have to, again, sort of cross your fingers and hope and pray that when you look up come mid to late July, you're right there with the haves, in that you can spend 2 months trying to narrow that gap and get yourself into the discussion come October. Otherwise, it's, you know, wait until next year and sort of punt on things until the following offseason.
Well, we think you're a have. So thanks so much, Chris. Appreciate
thanks,
you very much. Anytime, my friend. You bet.
Good to catch up with you.
All right, Chris Mack joining us. We'll come back with more in a moment. Picks coming up after the top of the hour. News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today.
And we'll be doing our picks in the next hour. And we'll start with the Celebration Bowl. Because the four-time defending champion demands that we start with the Celebration Bowl. Who's in the Celebration Bowl?
That'll be Alcorn State and North Carolina A&T.
Really?
And the game will be played in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Is anybody going to watch this? Is there going to be anybody watching the game?
Alumni of both schools.
Are you sure about that?
Or the Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl.
Well,
only the fourth year of existence of this game, by the way.
That might be 4 years too many. What? Okay, so, all right. There we go. Check it out. We'll pick the game. So we're picking 40 games.
I'm going to try to. Yep. 39 plus the Celebration Bowl. That's right. I'll wait for how many times your brother will say, who'd he pick? Who'd Sue pick?
Well, see, he's writing them down.
That's right. Yeah. So don't worry. We'll text you later.
Yeah. We'll let you know here at some point.
Catch the pod.
Terrific.
It's probably part of his scheme and strategy. Yeah, I get that.
No, I grew up with him. There is no scheme or strategy.
Should have known. Suit. Going down.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.